You're listening to The V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow. This podcast is designed to give you reflective time to engage yourself around sensitive life topics for the purpose of offering manageable perspectives for your daily journey. Hey, hey, hey! Your vulnerable space to grow. I'm Vessel.
And I'm Camille Veronica.
And it is Friday. And I'm ready to jam.
Okay.
See, I still got that song in my mind.
And still don't have the words for it either. But I applaud your effort. I am excited for your effort. I mean, okay. Forget.
Is
lyrics.
It for effort? Or
yeah.
Effort?
Like you showed up, you know, in costume and everything, ready to perform.
Yes. Because it's Friday.
For sure.
I went to the fish market today.
Oh, how was that?
I went to another fish market. So somebody put me on to this fish market since they're not really donating to our platform, mm-hmm. but they did get my money. I'm going to give them a shout out. Omar's Fish Market. I'm going to tell you about it. It was amazing. I posted it on my IG, a video. I'm a big thing about when I go into fish and meat markets, smell.
Mm.
It's all about smell for me. Mm. And I know there are fish there, so I expect some fishy smell,
mm-hmm.
but I don't expect an excessive amount of, like, there's a difference between fishy smell and old fishy smell.
Mm, come on.
Or a lot of bleach that you're mm-hmm. trying to cover up, you mm. know. So none of that. So they will be getting my business and quite a few other people's business because I was getting tagged. At least two big major chefs hit me up that was like, where's that market at? And mm-hmm. so I'm excited. The power of social media, which goes.
Hold
to
on. No, that's the power of word of mouth.
Yes, the power of word of mouth. That is, it is.
Okay. Now you can say power of word of mouth on social media. Okay, fine.
On social media,
but
absolutely.
Word of mouth still is the best way.
It is the best way. And I want to tell our listeners, if you enjoy what we give you, if you feel compelled of an episode that you've heard from us, please, we want you to share. We get no money off of it sitting in just you know, in your mind, right? Mm. Now we do collect offerings. We haven't done them recently, mm-mm. but we do collect offerings. If you like to donate an offering, the doors of the church are always open.
Always open. And our ushers are always wearing white shoes.
Oh. With them little what do you call it? The hat, the little, what is that thing called?
Oh, the doily on their
head? Vessel. Not the vessel, but the, yeah, the doily. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They always wear that. Mm. Always with a bobby pin. With a black.
You know, I didn't grow up in that tradition, but I do know about
it. The lace. That's what it is. It's a little lace.
The little lace doily. Mm-hmm.
The little circle lace there. Yeah, mm. yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how did that protect us. But then you keep on going with what you're talking about.
That
go
was
ahead.
The covering. You ain't know that was the
covering. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How that little thin piece of lace going to cover what I got? Oh,
listen,
y'all don't understand.
Hey, listen. We will put meaning and power in anything. I remember man used to sell handkerchiefs and try to off the television mm-hmm. and tell you that they were holy handkerchiefs. And you could put them anywhere on your body and it would heal.
Well, you mean didn't work? Because I got two of them here.
Nah. Well, I'm gonna tell you right now, it didn't increase my territories. Where I put it.
You didn't use it right. That's what you use.
Well, I did use it to clean up a couple of areas.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I said you ain't use it right. Okay, keep going now.
So listen, we gotta get in this Friday show.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you what happened because you know I get inspiration. There, you know, there are things that we go through in life. And we're not the only one that go through them. And so today's episode was really inspired by a conversation I had on South Beach, where my ignorance was educated. I was told by a young lady, she was with a group of guys, and there were two young ladies. It was about six of them. And me being the good conversation guy with my mask on, I'm sitting there waiting on my food, on Lost Weekend, which is a spot. They got some great truffle fries. Again, they're not paying us for this, but I'm paying them money. Mm. They got great truffle fries. And so I was there. And so while I was there, I was talking to the bartender. And the girl goes, and she was like, oh, he has BDE. And I heard her say it. And so I waited until the bartender left, and I was like, oh, okay. I was like, what is BDE, right? She was like, oh, you don't know what BDE is? And she was like, yeah. The boy was like, yeah, he has BDE. And I was like, okay, so can you please enlighten me on what BDE is? And so she tells me that BDE is big dick energy. Big dick energy, right? I did like that. First of all, what is put your kids to sleep, by the way. If you have, this is our Friday session. I did not give our disclaimer. It's too late now, but if your kid, this is a Friday session, and Friday sessions are really for grown folks. So the people in the back, I apologize about the side conversation, but I can't avoid it today. So yes, so she goes off and tells me what BDE stands. Are you still with me?
I'm with you. I have never left you. I have never forsaken you.
So yes, as I was saying, so she's explaining to me what this BDE is, which is, say it with me, big dick energy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, say it with me.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm in my head, I'm thinking, is there LDE?
What is that?
Little.
Oh, it must be. Oh, there must be. Because so what she was telling me was he came off very like I'm the boss, like the bartender. Like mm-hmm. he was like, he running this shit. You mm-hmm. know, he's the ace boom coon.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, I said, well, how do you differentiate BDE from confidence?
Right, right, right.
And just knowing your job, like mm-hmm. just knowing what your job is and navigating. And she was like, well, they cross sectors. And, you know, so we went into this long, it was very difficult to hear each other all the time because we were in a bar-like space and they were playing pool. But it just really, it triggered something inside of me. One, as a man, our dicks are very sensitive. Our mm-hmm. dicks are what I would say is equivalent to a lion's mane,
mm-hmm.
if this makes sense, right? The lion's mane, we understand the way scientists presented it to us that, you know, the lioness is attracted to the lion that has the most attractive mane, mm-hmm. right? And that's said to mean healthy. You know, when the mane looks a certain way, it's said to be, you know, a lion that can protect. And so there's this understanding that the lion, the mane gives. Now, granted, you don't see a person's private area unless you are in their private space.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what you should be. I mean, granted, I see some people understand the word print. I'm very aware that people look for prints and have these ideas. But it really did. It got me because I'm like, wow. Like, you know, I've heard the Napoleon. You know, Napoleon, the Neapolitan, that's the ice cream, right?
No, Neapolitan is the ice cream.
Oh, darn it. I was coming. darn it. But I had not heard that. So have you ever heard it?
No, I haven't. And okay. I'll be honest, I'm starting to figure out, like, why we even need that label like that. I'm like, I'm really trying to figure out, like, And I'm still kind of confused as to how are we differentiating who does and who doesn't. You know what I mean? Yeah, I ain't heard it before.
I would assume that...
I'm in the wrong circles. Okay, go ahead.
I think you're in the right circles. Keep your butt
right where I am, because I don't need to be in none of it.
nah, because the confusion, and this is why I told you I didn't want to tell you what it stood for, because I wanted you to be just as baffled, because I was baffled. Oh, and there is big girl energy. There is, and she was talking about Lizzo, and she was associating, you know, the confidence, mm-hmm. and of course that brought up the fact of what I feel as fabricated confidence. I feel like sometimes we put on that facade of fake it till you make it because we're really not happy where we are in that space, but we know that's where we are, and so we have to own where we are until we can get to what Monique is doing, right? Mm-hmm. Monique spent years talking about skinny bitches,
mm-hmm. you know? Right?
She did, you know, she made a platform about what they supposedly was building confidence in thicker women to downgrade or to tell skinny girls that y'all ain't the most sexiest or only sexy or you know, mm-hmm. so there was that part of the conversation that came into play. But I was just taken by this, right? And I think it really shined on me, because I'm gonna tell you, as a man, I've never had a hang up about my body.
Mm-hmm.
I am, and I think it happened because I was in athletics and there was no room to really be concerned about what your body did when you were getting dressed in the locker room, or at least for me, I didn't get there yet. I was a very late bloomer in the process now. Like, if I knew what I know now, my God.
And we're so grateful you didn't know.
Oh my God. If I knew what I know now, man, let me tell you.
There's a reason why. There's a reason.
Okay. Me tell you. But it was, so I didn't have those hangups. Hence the reason why I love the nude beach. You know, I get it. You know, some people, you know, I say, hey, the nude beach is there, and they frown their face up. They're like, I'm not going there. You know, why would I go there? I go there because it's a spiritual release for me, and I don't mind. Now, granted, I do have a problem when people decide they want to come stand over me and have conversations.
Ooh, okay, see, now, okay, let me just listen quietly. Mm-hmm.
It ain't no listen quietly. It's a back up, give me 6 feet. Now I say back up, give me 6 feet because COVID.
Mm-hmm.
but before it was like, no, I don't want anybody come talk to me, you know, on that space. But yeah, you know, I never heard it before. I felt some kind of way. I want to bring it to our audience because I also know it's a very sensitive conversation for men. There are a lot of men out here that struggle with feeling like you have been blessed or have not been blessed. I mean, there are some big dude. There are some guys out here walking around with handicap signs on their stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I will handicap you. You know, a woman or a man, I will handicap you if I get to you. You know, I will cause you to go crazy. You mm-hmm. know? And then there are guys that are, you know, I guess less than confident in that space. What does your brain say about hearing something like you started to say, you know, why do we need the label, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need a lot of stuff to, you know, hey, you know, how did we get to the point where we're celebrating fat asses and versus legs? It used to be all about legs and hair when mm-hmm. I grew up. Then it turned into big butts, mm-hmm. you know? I don't know. I it caught me. Do I carry big dick energy?
See, I don't, because I'm still not really clear about what it really, really is. Okay, you say confidence. If that's the case, then you the mayor. Yeah, you carry it. But in my world, I be like hoping every brother got it, so I'm just giving it away. I'm just putting it on you that you carrying something really, you know, fantastical and like out of this world. Because I like that world where I believe everybody is gifted. The world where we're trying to decide who is and who isn't seems so busy to me. So in my world, when I walk in the room, all of y'all got the gift. Ooh, hallelujah. That's why I love all of you. Now, we know everybody who has the gift. Oh, I'm about to go biblical on you. Everybody who get the gift don't use the gift wisely.
Oh, true.
Okay, or true. Properly. Some have not learned how to increase the right. Some haven't learned how to increase the gift.
Uh-huh.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm gonna bring you back to where you need to be.
We're gonna do offering at some point.
Oh yeah. You see, so to me, you know, it's I'm not totally surprised by the what it stood for, because you know, after you mentioned it, I was like, okay, let me go down. Of course, I started with silly things first, but then I was like, okay, if it was something else. Now, mine didn't end in energy, but I was like, okay, fine. But whatever it is, I'm going to find out. Hearing it, I am still wondering how one discerns who has it and who doesn't have it. Because I'll be honest, there are some brothers who are not as endowed, but they have an energy. They are confident in who they are. And I think that's where we find people so attractive. When you do what you love doing and you master it, or you begin to, you know, you're working towards the goal of being, you know, the most excellent in what you do. There's something about you that is very confident and is very attractive. You know, this is why people fall in love with folks who are on stage, because so many people are afraid to stand in front of others. And then when you stand in front of the others, whether you're singing, you're in the band, or you're speaking, or whatever it is, people find that very attractive. And the thing is, you might not even be saying anything all that great, but it's the fact that you're up there and you are holding the audience in whatever way it is. This is why folks fall in love with preachers, you know.
Leadership.
Right. Yeah. That's what it is. And so,
I think they would have big dick energy.
It would seem like, but
it would seem like, right.
But the thing is you know, as well as I do as a performer, when we're on stage, the personality is hyped, you know, 10 times. And when we come off the stage, we are librarians.
You're right.
Right.
You're
absolutely right. So you can become confused by that kind of energy if you're looking at just what is on the outside.
Right.
Good
job.
I'm, you know, do you have it? Yeah, you got it. Okay. You better talk. All right now. Okay. But I'm also the person that thinks when I walk in the room, all brothers got it. Because I just feel like, especially, you know, my brown and black brothers, I just think y'all just got everything.
And I think a lot of us have felt like, I never thought, and I have to admit, these are younger. Mm-hmm. They were younger than me. I don't know how young they were, but they were younger than me, that I caught the conversation. And so I'm moved by the idea of the physical being associated with the practice of behavior. And I get it, right? Because, you know, small man disease, you know, the short guy who has this mentality, you know, so we know that these things exist, these conditions and these syndromes exist, you know, in building someone's, in my mind, confidence, or making them feel like what they want to feel. You know, is it fabricated? I don't know. I just know that when we get into addressing the physical attributes, and that's such a sensitive space. I know people who have, you know, had conversations about, you know, the partner that they're with, and they were like, oh, but he don't do it to me in the bedroom, but he nice, but he don't do it to me in the bedroom, but he nice. And I would say, is there anything that he could do in the bedroom that could help you to not put that as a factor? And it's hard, you know, for some women, you know, and probably some guys, you know, if she is not one, I've told the story before, you know, I've been in a situation where, you know, the young lady I was dating did not want to be, you know, what they call hit it from the bat. Mm-hmm. She didn't want that experience at the beginning, you know, and it took more than 4 years before we had that exchange, you know. And it was because she felt disrespected. Mm-hmm. We had to have a conversation about it because I really wanted to know. Like, mm-hmm. I really wanted to know. I wanted to know why can't I get it this way, you know? And it was because she felt disrespected. She wanted to look in my face. She wanted me to look in my face. And I get that. And I don't know what trauma. I didn't even delve into the trauma that potentially existed prior to me coming on board. But I get that. So it was really disturbing. It was funny, but I have to ask myself, do I carry big dick energy?
Like, but wait, why do you say it's disturbing?
It's disturbing when you, because that's such a very sensitive space for men. Mm. I, you know, it's a very sensitive space for a man in that area, because there's really nothing, I don't think there's anything medical you can do. Like, you can add titties.
I think the acronym is more, is less about the physical and more about the type of energy you carry. I mean, it's energy, but I mean, like, the type of, the way you carry yourself.
But it sounded like to me when she said it, she was saying it in the context of, he's somebody I would try to go, because he has big dick, you know, he has a big dick energy. So he gives off big dick energy. Like, I'm assuming guys with big dicks have big dick energy. I don't, that's what I assume. And that's why I said confidence. That's why I drew in the conversation, you know, is it like, you know, is it confidence? Like, is that what we're associating with this? You know, I mean, I thought she might've saw something I didn't see after she told me what the acronym, and then the guys knew what it was. Mm-hmm. The guys that she was with. Now, I must admit, the guys that she was with, mm-hmm. Perhaps were engaged in big dick like energy as well. Mm. So I'm not going to discredit. They knew some stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, they had valid reason why they probably felt he was given that too. Yeah, this is Friday. That's why
I think that, first of all, I'm gonna just have to say this.
You have to.
I'm gonna have to say this.
I know you tried to motherboard us on this.
Oh, I still can. But I'm going to say this. Honestly, and I hate to have to say it about you, but you are, God bless me for saying this, you too old to be worried about this type of energy. And the reason I say that is because nobody in our, from your age and older, and I fit somewhere in that, we don't need to talk about my age ever.
Oh,
but no, it is this. The thing is that our circle of people or who we're around, we ain't talking about, and I don't mean that in terms of the topic itself. I mean, in terms of, like, I don't need to label anyone with this type of energy who has it. Because if it is, it just is. I'm going to mm-hmm. applaud you and keep on going. I think this is more of a generation, a particular generation that, this is the generation that has no filters. They put everything out. You know, there's nothing left to the imagination. And so this is probably the most creative thing, is that you had an acronym, so you didn't actually say it, but then those of us who don't know what it stands for needed an explanation. Right. Mm-hmm. So you handle business. What you should have done was got you a little lemonade and sipped it and kept on going and say, let the children play at the kiddie table.
I didn't.
So now you done opened up the box talking about, well, how come? Well, wait a minute. How come you don't need all of this here? You don't need it, and then you got me.
And then it stuck in my mind, right. And I got to bring it to the people.
You see what I'm saying? Now, it's good for us to know that this is what the youngins is talking about. However, this ain't it. This ain't gonna be in our conversations. when we are pouring a glass of Chablis or something, we are not having this conversation.
No.
But I'm glad to know about it. I'm glad because you know
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
If you,
I should have asked her. I feel like I wanted to. I should have asked her about the L. The
yeah. See, I want see. This is what I'm talking about. I ain't got time to be picking out who's got it and who doesn't. And that's what I'm saying. Is there the opposite energy? Because you know yeah. I believe in the yin and the yang. So there's got to yes. be an opposite energy for that. And if there is that a bad thing? Does that mean you're just less confident or you're less endowed?
Yeah, I didn't see it as a bad thing, which is why I said, well, he's confident. He knows his job. He knows, you know, but they were seeing as an attractive measure.
Okay.
As she was making a comment in the context of, I bet you he has this, you know, in that form.
Okay. So she wasn't really talking about his energy then.
She wasn't.
Stop trying. She was not. Okay.
But I was intrigued.
I wasn't there, but she wasn't talking about it. Okay, go ahead.
But you got it, right.
Okay.
This is just the thing. This was Friday. This is our Friday segment. We wanted to throw this out there. Listen, to our listeners, please like, please share. Please give us feedback. We know that many of you all listen to us, and we don't always get a chance to hear back. This was just one of those goofy. This is a goofy one. I get it.
No, this is timely. I needed to know this so I can go the other way.
What? When somebody isn't exuding BDE? Oh, I go the other way. You ain't exuding BDE. I just need to know if I get my shirt, can I sell it?
You know what? Look here. Like I said, every room I walk into, I decide all of y'all got it. So I don't even worry.
All y'all got it.
It's just easier. It's a whole lot easier.
You know what? Especially if you're not interested in going beyond what's on the outside. Let me just stay on the outside surface. I'm not even interested in going beyond the clothes. I need you to look. That's it.
It's a happy world where I am. And in my happy world, everybody has all the goodness and all the things that are necessary. Yay.
Yay.
Go men, go.
And go big girl energy too, because I know that's the acronym out there. But we're gonna shout out to all of those confident people. And shout out to those that you know you've been blessed in all the other areas of the ways of God.
Mm-hmm. You
know, we say congratulations.
Yeah, won't he do it?
I just wish he would have did a little bit more for me. That's all I would say.
You the mayor. You got it. Don't worry.
I got it.
You got it.
Where it doesn't show up, God has granted me other wisdom.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
this has been the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow. I'm Vessel.
And I'm Camille Veronica.
And we're so delighted you decided to stop in and just spend some time with us. Laugh with us. Enjoy us on this Friday. Have a great weekend. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. We had just a little commercial break, but we back. Yeah, that's what technology does. So you got to flow with it. Don't let it flow you out. So keep going.
Okay, so I was back to saying thank you because I always tell the story. I always tell the story, Terrence, about how my brother told me, and I tell my husband all the time, we laugh about it. I said, Terrence told me one day, you know, Tamika, you're a great person, but you know, sometimes just the things that come out of your mouth. And I think it was just me having a very strong personality, always knowing what I wanted in life. No one could really veer me. Even now, my husband says, he's amazed by, if you want to do something, you're going to do it. It doesn't matter what anyone says to you. And he recognizes that and he knows when to fall back. And I know when to fall back, basically. And so I remember being 27 and looking at someone who's very close to me that has known me for years, you know, almost a decade or so, telling me, hey, as a man, that may be a problem. That may be a problem, no matter how beautiful you are, no matter how smart you are, no matter what you have going for yourself,
yeah.
That may be a problem in your future relationships. And so I took self-evaluation. I really, really did. I remember I was 27. It was before grad school. I was still in preparation for grad school. And I was
getting to the point where I had traveled all around the world, partied my tail off. I mean, you all didn't even think I had a job, but I did. I just was able to make my own schedule. And so I was like, you know, as young people do, we set goals for ourselves. And as a young woman, you know, in a great career, I was like, oh, maybe when I'm 30, I can start trying to get married. You know, we always have these plans for ourselves, and then we tell God about them, and then he laughs, you know. And and so I started trying to prepare my mind, though. And so I started preparing my mind, and, you know, I had relationships after that, and I really did start practicing on, hey, just holding your tongue just a little bit. You know, let's try, if you feel a certain way, let's see if you feel that way 24 hours from now. Yeah. Don't just say exactly what is on your mind, and then try to see the person from the other side. And my other thing was, you don't always have to challenge the person that you say that you love. Like, if you love them, why are you challenging them so much? How difficult or how easy are you making this relationship for them? Challenging a person is never going to make the relationship easy, unless you have, you know, it can't be a healthy relationship if that's what's making the relationship easy. And so that I knew then what I wanted for myself. And I also, when I took self-evaluation, was like, you know what, he's right. You know, that's not something that I really should be doing as a lady, as someone that I want a man to come in and join me as a helpmate and to cover me and can pray with me, and we can really come together as a unit, as a team. You know, there's no I in team, people always say. And sometimes when we are thinking about ourselves, not really thinking about the other person that we're with, and it's just sort of a selfish outlook on the relationship or life or whatever, it doesn't work. And I experienced that. I experienced that several times. And so those experiences taught me lessons. You know, I knew. Yeah.
I think it is too, because when you grow up with men around you, or as even if, you know, having a brother in the house, having a male in the house, right? Even with the absence of sometimes fathers, we still grow differently. We still, and because we date, right? We're dating dating women, right? Well, you know, for some of us, we're dating women, and others, you know, you're dating whoever you're dating. But I mean, we're dating, so our conversation about what annoys us or what gets under our skin or what prevents us is a good indicator. If you do have a sister, putting your sister on game, putting your female friends on game is really the goal for succeeding when they meet the next guy. Because that guy's more than likely, I mean, if he likes, you know, women, he likes the things that we like. You know, or even if he, you know, is dabbling it up. However, I'm trying not to move away from that, but I want you guys, because I really want you to understand that that was the reason why I felt compelled to do and to share and to be honest and to be transparent in that space. You brought up something, and I have to hit this, because you said you started preparing mentally first, and then you started practicing. Now that goes, that goes into
quite a few
where every relationship, because you had quite a few.
Even still, when you said that, you know, I always say that life is about outlook.
Go in.
You know, we can experience a lot of things, but if we don't have the right outlook, because I could have gotten defensive with you, I could have been like, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about, you know. But what it made me do was look at previous relationships and say, you know what, he's right. I could have did this differently. I could have said this differently. Now, those relationships were test runs. They were practice runs. But afterwards, you know, I really did try. The next relationship that I was in, because I hadn't been in a lot of relationships, because I wanted to find myself, develop myself as a woman, really be comfortable in the skin that I was in. and not look back at life and felt like that I missed something. So believe me, I had a lot of good people that approached me that I was very honest with that was just like, hey, I'm not ready. This is not the place that I'm at in my life right now. These are not the goals that I have for myself. But when the time comes, if you're still around, you know, maybe we can make it happen. But around 27, 28, I started trying to prepare my mind. And then I did have a relationship and everyone was shocked because they weren't used to seeing me in relationships, but that was a part of my practice. And, you know, great guy. We just did not work because maybe of distance or time, and everything's about timing in life. And I looked at what you told me, and there were plenty of times when I had to hold my tongue. And I said, you know, I'm going to hold my tongue because Terrence told me to hold my tongue. And I think that it didn't cause me any strife. It didn't make me lose any sleep. I didn't get angry about it. And so my outlook was, you know, practice what he said to you and see how it makes you feel. Now, if it makes you feel like, hey, this is just not me, then okay, be it. But for me, it wasn't the end of the world. I felt like it was a part of my development. I felt like that, hey, my parents had already prepared me of how to be a respectable young lady. Now I'm out on my own and I'm exploring. And I have someone that truly cares about me that's telling me that's not a good look on you. And so it didn't hurt me, you know, because I knew where the underlying statement came from. I knew that the underlying statement came out of love. And so that didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of practice.
Wow. So fast forward into now you've had some practice and you've had some heartbreak within the practice, because again, you're practicing not to just, you're practicing to win, right? You still practice
really just one, you're really not just one. Yeah.
You know, this one, actually, I think it was like probably two or maybe one really, but I guess it was really just one. It really was. Now, so my sister has always been a good relationship person, right? I will admit that even through high school.
Right. I've always been a very honest person. Yeah, I've always been very honest in relationships. Very, very honest. And I felt like when I found a person that can be as honest as I was, that was going to be the person that I was going to mesh with. And I didn't find that person until I was 36, 37, somewhere around there. I mean, 10 years, you better say it. I mean, it's talking about waiting on God. And I set these goals. I did a vision board. I said, you know, these are the things that I want in this man of mine, my husband. That was the exact word that I put on there. And it took years for me to actually have a person that was able to manifest the things that I had written that were important to me, that had the same core values, the core values of family, the core value of love, respect, integrity, you know, of being a true teammate. That took a while. That took a while. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What was your patience like in that process of getting to that? Because I think the other thing about preparing what you pray for,
I would definitely say that it taught me to be patient and not to really rush into anything, because I saw that. And it also taught me that to forgive. So we'll get on forgiveness later. But if you want to talk about the patience, it definitely, I don't think I lost patience with it. I just felt like, okay, this is not my time. I've always felt like that everything happens in divine timing, divine order. And when things don't go the way that I want it to go, I'm like, well, that's just not the way it's supposed to go. That's not what God wants for me right now. And I've always had that outlook. And regardless of if it hurt, or if it was disappointing, if I shed a tear, I still was able to smile because I know that God had me, like, honestly.
You kept going. That's, I told somebody that this week, actually last night, I saw them last night and they, I had inquired my mouth. I put my foot in my mouth. I had said, hey, you know, how's your husband? And they were, we're not together anymore. And literally as I said that, he was walking behind her, and she was, he was like, but he's here. And I was like, oh,
right.
And then I looked up and literally it's not even like a minute.
Yeah.
He was walking behind her. He was like, we're still good, but we're not together.
Right.
And I was like, that's 8 years of your life. Y'all were only married for 2 years. Y'all went 8 years of dating. Well, 8, 9, 10 total, but 2 years of marriage. Like, what in the world? And I apologized, you know, to him. I said, listen, I know it sounded awkward. It is mm-hmm. always awkward mm-hmm. for me and a man when you know a female and the male is a friend and you, and I just immediately apologized to him. He's like, no, I didn't post it on social media. I know you wouldn't have known, and mm-hmm. you know, but it's all good, you know? And I was just sitting there shocked because I didn't get invited to this wedding, but I heard about this wedding. I heard about this, and it is challenging. It is challenging when those things don't work out, and to put yourself back in the game again and again and again. It's almost, you can either build walls that prevent you from succeeding for the next round, or you can make yourself,
you
can make yourself what you did.
You can build a wall. What are those little things that's on those rock climbing walls for your feet and your hands for you to catch on? You can build a wall, or you can put those little things on there and climb over the wall, you know? But what I will say is, it probably bothered, and I don't know what their feelings are, but when I look at that, it probably bothered you more than it bothered them, because what I just spoke on was about forgiveness. I'm pretty sure they've forgiven each other. In order to be in the same room, you know, having good vibes in the same room, in the same place, and being able to smile and being able to talk about it without getting angry. And hey, this was just a part of my life's journey. I still love this person. I still respect this person. We just were not good together as husband and wife. And that comes with a lot of forgiveness and a lot of understanding. And I think that the best thing that I've ever done in life is forgiving the people who disappointed me. It wasn't necessarily about hurt. It wasn't necessarily like, I mean, because I'm a pretty strong person, but if you disappoint me, who wants to be disappointed? Who really wants to be disappointed? And so it was always that if you disappointed me, then I'm going to feel some kind of way, but I always forgave people because we all are imperfect. No one is perfect. Not one of us, you know? And so if we don't learn how to forgive, you know, it is something that is a weight on our shoulders. I feel like it blocks our blessing. You know, it's not stated there. But I feel like, you know, and the weight that was lifted off of me, the joy that I have because I forgave people, that I don't hold grudges, you know. And then sometimes, yes, your relationship or your dynamic of your relationship will change. We may not be exactly the same way we were, but I forgive you. You know, I forgive you and I respect you, and I'm going to still honor you as someone that I can talk to about appropriate situations. That don't mean we're going to talk about the same thing that we used to talk about or do the same things that we used to do or even see each other. But when we see each other, it's going to be all love, you know? So.
When did you start to see what you had prayed for, what you had written down? When did you start to see and feel that unfolding?
Did you
even realize that it was unfolding?
Okay.
And this is specific to a relationship. I just want to make sure I listen. This example that that my sister is using as it preparing for what you pray for as it relates to a relationship. We prepare for jobs, prepare for what you pray for moving. I mean, I'm literally going to tell everybody, pray and meditation should be the key thing. Like if they say breakfast is the best part of the best meal of the day, I honestly believe that prayer and meditation is everything for me. Like the decisions that I make, I literally have to feel like I've put some prayer and meditation on it before.
Okay, so I'm married now. I will say that I'm married now, and I've been married for, I've been together with my husband for 5 years. We've been married for a couple of, I think 2 or 3 or something like that, y'all. So, but we've been together for 5 years. We do know that, and it's been great. I mean, it's been full speed ahead. There hasn't been any serious hiccups, road bumps, anything like that. And I think what made me, I was always a person that wanted to be a mom. I wanted to have kids. And I had a childhood friend say to me one time about how, Tamika, you always talk about your kids, but you never talk about your husband. And that made me, that, you know, that's some stuff that make you go and meditate. You know? Wow. You know, yeah, it made me go, she's right, you know. And
yeah,
so
yeah, that's stuff that
I will say that I had sort of, I don't say I was giving up on love, but I just wasn't chasing it. I had said, you know, I have this handsome, beautiful, smart, happy baby. I'm pretty good in my career. I have a great family. I'm just going to focus on this life that I brought into the world, because I brought him into the world, regardless of what other entity helped him get here. He was with me 24/7. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to focus on him and just focus on being happy, and he'll be happy, and then the rest will come and play. And so that happened right before my son, I think that was around, this, my son was probably about 1.5 going on 2 years old. And that was around the same time that I met my husband. It was not planned. It was not, I mean, it was not expected at all. And when I met him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you see it? Did you see it when it, like, did you know this was it? I guess that's the
other
thing.
I felt like if it was it, that it was,
you know,
too good to be
true. Here, or wait a minute, this
not like to a point that I didn't feel like that God could bless me that way, but I had had other situations that looked like that, you know, that could have been that where people, you know, where I thought that people really cared about me and wanted to see the best for me and wanted to really walk on the journey with me. And that didn't happen. And so when you go through that in life, you don't put too many, you know, eggs in that basket. You just sort of let it balance out. And I never been a person that looked for someone to mess up. I just say, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt until you give me a reason not to trust you, or I'm going to trust you until you give me a reason to. And so some people say that I'm too nice, that I'm too trustworthy, but I think that everyone has to have their own experience. Whatever your experience was with that person may not be my experience. And so I'm going to always give a person a chance. And so when I met my husband, you know, I was having fun. That was the point that I had came to in my life, like, hey, I'm just gonna date, I'm just gonna have fun, I'm just gonna see what happens, and didn't really want to introduce anyone else to my son, because I had tried, and I just was like, you know what, I'm just gonna date a regular person. I just want someone that can, you know, stand on their own 2 feet, that's already handling their own business, and then when we come together, it's gonna be greater. That was the point that I was at. And so but like I said, I was just going to go out. I really wasn't going to introduce my son to anyone. Right. I had a babysitter. Mm-hmm. I had a nanny that was on call anytime I needed her or whatever. And then I had my parents, and I had good men in my life that could, you know, show my son what good men were. But when I met my husband, it was something about him, and it was something about his smile. And then it was other things that I just paid attention to. We met on a cruise ship, and it was a 7-day cruise, and we met on the first day on the water. And so, you know, I'm looking at him, I'm like, gosh, you know, he's a handsome guy. And I guess I'll give V-Spot the exclusive, because I really haven't given anyone the exclusive on it. But I remember the guy who was emceeing his, they call him a demo, a food demonstration. And he kept saying, you know, he's newly single. So I'm like, if you're a single woman in the room, you're going to look at him like, could I, you know, maybe, you know. And so I'm looking at him, and he tells this story about how he didn't feel like he had a failed marriage. He felt like his marriage just ran its course, you know, and he was still, you know, it was sort of like a forgiving conversation. And when he said that in the demo, I said, that sounds like me. That's a person that's sort of like me. So you want to be with like-minded people. So that was the first thing that made me pay attention to him. And then, because, you know, even though men choose women, I still think the women ultimately choose men. So.
I may very well tell you, I agree with that too, because although we can chase, if you don't let me know that my chase is not in vain, then I will feel worn out. Like at some point, you can't keep chasing the rabbit. The rabbit either better disappear, or that rabbit better be ready to get caught. Right. Like at some point, you got to lay down. Fashion.
So guess what?
After I chase it, I lay down and let him rub my stomach. You know, at the end, I do want to feel that rub.
I know. I know. I know. I know. I'm just saying. I'm just using your analogy.
This is the Tuesday segment. So
you know, and once we met, and everything just sort of flowed.
You did a good job.
And that's what I was saying that made me feel like, okay, he is the one. Nothing. There was really not many hiccups, bumps. Nothing that really made me. I can honestly say my husband has never made me cry in a bad way. You understand what I'm saying? Like, every tear that I've cried has been a happy tear. I mean, besides, like, you know, we've lost some family members and that, you know, that's sorrowful. But as far as heartbreak, oh, no. Oh, no. He is a protector of my heart. And he showed me that from the very beginning. I mean, from the very beginning, he was very protective. We were zip lining and he was putting mosquito repellent on me. You know, like, I don't want you to get bit by mosquitoes. Little stuff like that. And so, I just.
Is he what you had been previously? And I know the answer to this, but I gotta ask it because I know somebody's out here thinking this. Is he what you had previously been?
Well, if I look at my track record, I'm like a bag of Skittles around here. Like, I'm like pacing around. No one just looked the same way. The people that I dated or I entertained or I, you know, no one looked the same way. But as far as character and treating me good, yes, I never really tried to dig in with anyone that didn't treat me the way I wanted to be treated or the way I felt like I should be treated. But as far as the age is concerned, it's probably the biggest age gap that I've ever had. And height concern, he's probably, I used.
Yep, there we go. That's what I want. That was the one. Y'all know. Listen to me.
But you know, I had a professor.
The conversations that we had. That's
at our alma mater, Bill Goodman.
That height.
Who?
Yeah.
Yeah, Wildcats, who was one of my favorite teachers. She was a OB professor. Wildcats. And she told me, her husband, she said, she was referencing to her husband, and she was referencing to me. She said, you're going to marry someone that's not tall. Not as tall as you think. Because at the time, I was dating someone that was like 6'3". She was like, wow, he's tall, you know. And I said, really, you think so? She said, yes. And so throughout all of my experiences with the people that I dated, something that I decided was, okay, I want to marry a good businessman. That was something that I said to myself, just in the back of my head. It wasn't on my vision board. It wasn't, you know, something that I just wrote down and focused on. But in the back of my head, because of relationships that I had, because of friends that I had, things that I had seen happen, just life experiences, I said, I want someone that's good in business because we can, you know, accumulate a lot of things, but then we can end up, you know, messing it up or losing it if we don't have good business skills. And so I wanted someone that was a good businessman. And my husband, you know, just happens to be a good businessman. You know, he has learned from things that he has experienced in the past. He's very wise and he's a good communicator. And so once I saw that, I think that the pandemic, because we are in a pandemic, y'all. Don't get me started. That's why I haven't really been able to do any podcasts because I'm gonna bring up the pandemic. But I think that what I was telling him And what I've told a couple of my friends lately is the pandemic showed me what kind of life I wanted to have and what kind of life I could mm-hmm. have. And so, and that I'm thankful for the decisions that I made. Like, I did okay. I did okay. Everything, you know, I still have some more, you know, decisions that I'm still making. But for the most part, to be in a house that I really like being in, around a mate that I really like talking to, you know, that I really like being at home, there's no mm-hmm. other, nothing else that yeah. I need to see. There's no other verification besides that. Like, oh, you did okay. You did okay. You know, mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a purging. We've been saying that on the V-Spot. This is a purging moment, whether, you know, it's either you guys survive or you realize that you don't need to be in the space. I was talking to a young lady that came for a tour, and she told me her brother and her and their fiance, they decided maybe this is it. I really didn't know. As a matter of fact, her very exact word says, we're not even friends. And when she, I was like, so literally you can go through life with these distractions and really not get the real root of who the person is. When people wonder how she had been cheating or she's been doing all this stuff and nobody never knew. Well, because you got so many distractions, you're not sitting at the table. You're not cooking together. You're not eating together. You're not driving, riding in the same car. So there's so much time in between, right, for things to, you know, metastasize. You know, and you don't even, what's funny you don't know
is,
it,
I'll
right?
say this real quick, really is that there, my husband and I are opposites,
you know?
You know how people be like, oh, you know, opposites attract. We are opposites in a lot of ways. But like I said, our core values is still love and family and respect and communication. Like, we have those core values, but when it comes down to our personality, he's an early riser.
Yeah.
I'm not. We both have our little OCD components on certain issues and certain things. But we're opposites in a lot of ways. I know his love language and he definitely knows mine, you know, and I wanted to read that book over before I did this podcast and I didn't get a chance to, because I'm like, if you don't know a person's love language, or if you're not willing to accept their love language, you probably won't make it.
Yeah, I think we're going to do another. I'm going to do a podcast because, you know, that's one of those elements. I love the five love languages. For if you don't know, it is an amazing series of books. It goes from children to family. I mean, it is just a great, great idea. It's not the whole end all be all for our listeners, but it is most definitely something you can delve into to know who you are as an individual and then to be able to relate when you friendships. I mean, it crosses the gamut. Friendships, family ships, it crosses the gamut. I want to get this part because now we're in the fact that you're experiencing what you've prayed for. I didn't start this in the first part, but then protecting what you have prayed for. I know that we have had some things and no, you're not, Terrence, you're not about to cry. I have said, and this is a vulnerable space, I have said to my sister on a couple of times, I rarely regret anything that I've had in my life. I will say there is one experience in my life as it relates to a relationship that I really wish as a man I would have fought and put my foot down on. And I watched us make decisions that ultimately change the trajectory of where we are today. And I don't believe I did a good enough job. Actually, I don't believe I did a great job at all because of protecting. And so now I'm in a repent and repair state of life. So how have you been able to protect? And you have a very odd, and we're not hitting on it, and I'm glad we didn't, but you do have another element to your relationship that makes it challenging to protect.
I think
that what you pray
the
for.
Most important thing with us is making sure that the house is good. If everyone in the house is good, then we can handle anything else outside of the house.
Okay.
if we're good, if our foundation is good, if our foundation is stable, we're able to handle any little shakes and earthquakes and hurricanes and, you know, tropical storms that may come, because life will bring you storms. But you have got to be able to withstand them and to have a good foundation. And I think that one thing that my husband really did that I really appreciated, and the aspect that I think that you're speaking on, is because he lived his life in the limelight in the beginning. Is that the one that you're speaking on? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. And that makes it challenging. From somebody who hasn't lived in the limelight, who's also been caring, you literally a bedside manner person.
Right,
everything about you right. is.
I think that, and we even discussed this over the last couple of weeks. Is you know, we have
that. Yeah,
thank God we have plenty of discussions on a regular basis. And one thing that I appreciate of him was that he was like, if you don't want this. You don't have to do this. You know, if you're not ready for it, if you're not in, it's up to you. So if you say that you don't mind me posting about you or being in a video, we actually have a video to shoot today, you know, for, you know, wishing families and a happy holiday and all that stuff. And I was like, hey, it's all up to you. But he waited and he gave me time. We had a good relationship. We had been together for a couple of years. I was pregnant with my daughter, and you know, one of the news, I think it was a newspaper or online newspaper, came and, you know, just wanted to find out who he was. I don't know how. You know, they wanted to find out who he was with, and they, you know, they did a small article on us. And so at that point, it, you know, it felt a little invasive, but, you know, he had given me time. We had been together, I think, for about 3 years already. Mm-hmm. Even when we started dating, I didn't tell people who I was dating. And I think that was something that he really liked mm-hmm. about me. He said that that was something that he really liked about me. I didn't do it on purpose, but only thing I wanted to get to know the person that I was with. I didn't want it to be like, oh, I'm with this celebrity person and this is who I'm with and I'm going to make it work. I'm like, no, if you're around me long enough, then you'll know who I'm with. If you're around me long mm-hmm. enough, then you'll know who my mate is. It's just not, I wasn't using him as a trophy or a charity case. And then he decided that, you know, from my previous relationship, maybe, you know, I should let her take her time. If this is what she wants, that's fine. This is not her field. I was already very established, very, very established when my husband met me. So it wasn't something that I needed. It wasn't something mm-hmm. that we needed in our relationship. You know, if anything, it would be something that may bring a little bit more, you know, a little bit more, you know, turmoil or chaos or whatever. And so we treaded that water very lightly, and I love him for that. I love him for that because he was like, I'm mm-hmm. not going to do that to my wife. I'm not going to do that to my wife. I never want her to wake up and not want to be here. I never want her to wake up and regret being with me. And so mm-hmm. he put me first and sort of put himself first, but we put our family first, and that's just how we are. And so, you know, with that being said, once it came mm-hmm. out and we did a People magazine spread, you know, we sort of got in front of it and tried to do it on our own, because you never want anyone to try to tell your story. Only we can tell our story. Only we can tell our story. You can only tell what you think you know, what you might find on paper, but you don't know the story.
Yeah.
And so, mm-hmm. You know, I respect him and I love him for that. And he would tell anyone, you know, I never wanted my wife to, you know, I was pregnant. He was very concerned. I was 39 or 40 years old, pregnant, you know. And so, you know, that's sort of high risk. After the age of 35, you're sort of high risk. And so he was very protective of mm-hmm. my physical state, my mental state. And he waited. We waited until, I think Ariel was about 7 months old before we even did that People magazine shoot. I think she was like 6 or 7 months old when we did that People magazine shoot. And so it was different, sure enough, but mm-hmm. the area that I'm from, you know, I sort of experienced stuff growing up. I experienced people not liking me just because of the way that I look, not even knowing who I was. I experienced, you know, heartache. I experienced making mistakes. And so I just thank God for all of those things coming in my life at such an early age. That I can, and not necessarily early, because I mean, I didn't meet my husband until I was 36, 37, but I.
But you had practice, and you processed.
Well, you know, at times it felt like
for
the stop.
Something like you didn't now, process I'll be honest. It for.
I'll be
it
honest.
Being
at times
stopped.
When
like
you
no,
when you set a goal for yourself, anytime you decide to be in a relationship with a person or to like even with graduate school, it took me. I didn't go to graduate school until after being a nurse in critical care for 6 years, and my goal was to do it after being nursing for 2 years. I only wanted to do 2 years. I wanted to do the bare minimum and then get out. Well, that's not what God wanted for me. And I'm glad, because it prepared me for the area that I'm in. I worked in critical care for 6 years, and now I do, you know, what I do, and I'm able to handle high stressful situations, you know, and make fast judgmental decisions that are good for my clients, you know. And so I looked at everything as preparation, and my husband was just a part of it, you know.
You have really, listen, the V-Spot is honored. And I want to tell listeners, you don't have to, you know, this is just one, but if you really want to hear the unpacking, Tamika has a Taste of Love podcast that she started, and you can catch up on some of the episodes. She just mentioned to you, you know, the pandemic has kept her from doing some more recordings, but you can see this this unfolding of prayer. The prayer doesn't stop, because you guys are still praying, right? You guys are still praying. So just because now that you have this doesn't mean you stop preparing and planning for what is next, and protecting it as well. So tell them where they can follow you, what some things, you know, that you got. I know you just mentioned that you're going to be recording a family segment. we have intentionally not said my brother-in-law's name, but I think for you guys, once you get some, you'll find out, right? I really wanted you to focus on the prayer, you know, the preparing part. This isn't about him or them
so
individually.
So you can
really
find me on all available platforms for podcasts.
So tell them where
Apple, Spotify, Anchor. I think Amazon has one too, but I'm going to double check. And it's TPN Taste of Love. On Instagram is TPN Taste of Love. On Facebook is Taste of Love Balance, because they wouldn't let me put the whole name in there. But and you'll be able to find out a little bit more about me. And I created that page, my brother, because I had when people delete their Facebook page or their Instagram page, and they try to find all of their family and friends that they had before, and it's impossible. I didn't want to do that. I did not want to do that. And there were certain things that I didn't mind sharing. Yeah. And I knew that a part of my husband's background was that people knowing him as a family man, and people were wondering about who was this person that he was married to. And so some things I don't mind sharing. You know, I'm very protective, though, of my family and of my friends. And I sort of tell them that. I'm like, look, I'm not posting everyone on my public entities, because everyone doesn't have your best interest at heart. And so you have to realize that. But that's where I am. I'm on TPN Taste of Love Balance. You can find me. I did a nice podcast on rainbows that has really gotten me through. I have to listen to it every once in a while. And my son actually made me a rainbow. I mean, his little genius self. And I'm missing him so much.
It
he's
really
spending time with his
good.
Other yes. side right now. And I'm just loving it. He's in heaven. I'm in heaven. We're all like one big happy family. I always tell my husband, we're like the new Cosbys around here. We're like the new Cosbys. But so that's where you can find me, Terrence. And I just been preparing. Like, I've been looking for, I don't know if you want to add this in there. I mean, but I wow. really have been in preparation mode. Like, we, now that we know what we can do safely with this virus being around, I'm trying to get more help to come back in the house, because I've been doing it all for 7 months. That's why they haven't gotten a podcast from me. I've been cleaning my house. I've been, you know, I've been trying to balance. I've been being a daycare yep. worker. My daughter has been home. She's two. She's been home since March. Mm-hmm. And she is potty trained, and she, when we take days off, she takes days off. I'll tell you that. And so, so I've been in preparation mode. Like, I supposed to been trying. I've been calling people that were here before that was helping me, you know, like keep my house organized. And then I've been trying to organize my house so I can be a little bit more productive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Accessible. Wow. Listen, guys, this has been the V-Spot. We've had our special first special guest with us.
TPN Taste of Love. Yes.
From the Taste of Love. You can hit her up on the podcast. It's my one and only TPN Taste of Love. It's my sister. Tamika, we love you and we look forward.
Thank you, my brother. I love you.